Mark chapter 8 and verse 24. I really feel compelled with what I am going to preach here this morning. Brother Abraham, if you can slide those forward about a foot to 2 foot. More, one more foot. Ah, that's good, perfect. Last week, if you were not here last week, I would encourage anyone and everyone who was not here to get last week's message. And you can go online, or you can ask the sound men back there. They can print you a CD, but you can go online and listen to it as well. I told someone it may have been the best message I've ever preached. That's how strongly I felt about what I preached last week. It had nothing to do with me. It's just what I felt God had given me. And so I am going to, in some way, head towards that path again, but I'm going to take us into another place, And I really felt from the beginning of this week what I was supposed to say. And to some, this may not be anything new. To some, this may seem all brand new. But I just feel so strongly about what I'm going to say. If you will turn with me, and you've got it, to Mark 8 and 24, it says, "And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking." In other words, I see, but it's not clear. It's fuzzy. In other words, how many remember last week? I believe, but help thou my unbelief. This week, I see, but I see as men walking, or as trees walking. I can tell that there's something there, but I can't quite see what it is. Brother Abraham, you somehow knew you were getting thrown into this, right? Good morning, Brother Lou, when you're listening to this. I'm picking on your boy again. Brother Abraham, I want you to stand right over against that wall. Now, I'm going to trust you're going to be honest. Matter of fact, you can take your glasses off, because you're not going to need them. Now, I want you to shut your eyes, and I want you to navigate from this side to the other side by going around the chairs. Without looking. I want you to do it. All right. What? I didn't want to stop until he bumped his nose. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I want you to hold that. Now I want you to go ahead and walk across now with eyes open. No big deal, right? Here's what I'm going to talk to us about. Confidence is seeing. Confidence is seeing. Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that you will help me this morning. God, I feel, Lord, directed in my spirit, Lord, that someone needs to hear this word today. Lord, there are people here that have been battling. They've been struggling. They want to do your will. They want to do your purpose, but they're not sure what to do or how to do it. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me. God, that you would help me to preach your word with confidence, with boldness. Lord, as I felt it within my spirit, God, I pray, Lord, that I could get it out in that manner. And God, I pray, Lord, that someone would be changed here today. Lord, that as they go forward in their life, as they go towards you, Lord, they will be able to walk walk in confidence knowing, Lord, where you're taking them. Bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Confidence is seeing. Now, Abraham was able to navigate it. He did have to take an extra peek. He was a little tentative about getting going. And the more obstacles that would have been there, the even less sure of where he was going, he would have gone. He would have moved much slower. Had anyone ever tried to navigate your living room in the dark, even after knowing where everything is? Been there? How many have their stubbed toes to? Yeah. And if it's our house and my wife, she doesn't like things to stay where they are. It's this way one week, it's that way the next, and if it's dark, look out. I can be honest, there's times I've walked through this church and I've had the lights out. I'm not walking in quite the same confidence as I am with the lights on. Because sometimes I'm not quite sure, am I ready to make the turn yet? Am I going to catch my knee on the pew? Because confidence is seeing. It is understood in scriptures that blindness in the Bible was more than just a physical condition. It is used many times as a spiritual condition. And Jesus used this in many times, in many manners. He would call the Pharisees. He looked at them and he says, "You're blind Pharisees." He looked at the scribes and called them blind guides. He was the one who coined the phrase, "If the blind lead the blind." They're both going in the ditch. Jesus would use this as an example. He used blindness, not totally in a physical manner. And I believe the reason he healed the blind so many times in scriptures was because of the spiritual connotations. He wanted people to come alive, for their eyes to be opened, for them to see. Not in a physical, but in a spiritual manner. It was the Paul who wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." What happened? Their mind became blind. Those that don't believe in Jesus or his power or his ability or that he is God, they simply have their mind blinded. The God of this world is doing everything that he can to blind the minds of them. Why? So that the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It was the writer of Proverbs that wrote in Proverbs chapter 29, "Where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish." Once again this morning, I'm not going to stand here and say that you're here and that you don't believe. But once again, I'm going to say this. Many times we are stuck with a view in part. Hear me. We are stuck with a view in part. Like I said last week, I believe God can do it, but will he do it for me? But in this case, I haven't been blinded that there is a God. I believe every single one of us in this place believe that there is a God. I believe every single one of us in this place believe that his name is Jesus. I believe we all believe there is a God. But I'm not sure if... I got to get this out. I hope you're out. I know he's God, but I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know he's God, but I'm not sure of what my purpose is. I know he's God, but is there more to this Christian life than just coming to church and existing? Is it possible that God has a plan for my life? Is it possible that I'm supposed to be doing something for his kingdom? Oh, I believe he's God. I believe he's great. I can sing how awesome my God is. I can sing how great he is. But all when it comes down to my doing something, when it comes down to my part, all of a sudden, I'm not really sure. Oh, I know he's great. I know he's awesome. But what am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to be living? What is my purpose in his kingdom? I can't really see that. I can see the greatness of God. I can look out on a beautiful Sunday morning and see the sun in the sky and the birds and all the growth and all the new life that's coming into being and all this that's happening. I just know there is a God. But what about me? What am I supposed to do with that? How's that supposed to affect my life? What am I supposed to be doing? And since I can't really see that, I make excuses. We make excuses. I've made too many mistakes in my life. I've let him down too many times, so God don't want to do anything with me. I've not lived up to what I know I should be, so I can't do anything. I don't know enough. I've heard this. I don't know enough about the Bible. Can I let you in on a secret? I don't either. See, I get to pretend on Sunday morning that I know something. Kidding. I study. I try to learn. I learn as much as I can. But in the end, I don't know enough either. Do you know why? Because this book is so great, I can't know enough. I just keep studying. You cannot use this excuse. I don't know enough. I wish I remembered. See, I don't know enough. I wish I remembered which apostle it was. Before he was an apostle. You know what he said? He went to a friend of his. And he says, you've got to meet this Jesus. His friend looks at him and says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He did not have the ability to go into the Old Testament and explain to him how this was the Messiah. So you know what he said? He said these one words that should help every single one of us when we struggle about how do I do it? I don't know if I know enough. Here's what he said. Come and see.
That's simply it. I can't explain it. I can't tell you every bit about it. But here's what I know. When I step into the presence of God, there's something that takes place. I can't explain it. I may not be able to give you all the ins and outs of it. But if you'll just come, you'll see. If you'll just come with me, you'll see. We use the excuse, I don't know enough. I haven't lived long enough for God. Or let someone else do it. That's pastor's job. That's someone else's job. Or I've been doing it long enough. It's someone else's turn. We come up with excuses as to why we can't. And here's why I believe it. Here's what I believe. I don't believe it's because we don't love God. I don't believe it's because we don't believe in God. Here's what I believe. We're not seeing clearly. Here's what I know. I'm not seeing clearly. I can see in part. In other words, I see a little bit, but I don't know enough what God. See, I haven't made it personal. What is God wanting to do in my life? And so here we are, seeing but yet blinded in part, believing in God, but having no vision of what God wants in our life. See, and so service after service, I come in and I see in part. I get excited. I feel the presence of God. I move by emotion. I cry. I worship. I love God. But then I get out on Monday. Now what? Now what am I supposed to do? Now, God, what? I don't feel like I'm getting it out like I feel it. Hopefully you're getting it. If you don't have a vision, I said, if you don't have a vision where you're going in God, you have no idea where you're going. And guess what? You're going to end up there. You're going to end up nowhere. If you don't have a vision, this is where God wants me. This is what God wants for me. This is where God wants me. If you don't have that vision, I believe it's good. If anyone knows me, you know I'm a very spontaneous type person. It's easy for me to just spur of the moment do this and spur of the moment do that. I'm good at that. That's my specialty. It's good to be spontaneous sometimes. It's good to do things spur of the moment sometimes. But hear me this morning. Many times we are moved by the moment and moved by the emotion. But what was supposed to be a catalyst for drawing us to God so that He could show us what we need to do, it simply became an emotion. And instead of making the step towards God, after the emotion is gone, doubt settles in, fear settles in, And instead of using the moment that God placed you in to give you direction and to show you what he wants, we're moved by emotion. And then we step outside of emotion. And now I forget and I lose track of. And instead of doing what God is wanting me to do, I just become frozen in inactivity. I become frozen where I'm at. And Monday becomes like last Monday, and the next Monday becomes like the next one, and every week becomes the same. And it's simply because I have not come to the place where I have seen God and his direction in my life. I'm telling you, every single one of us should have an encounter with God where he speaks to us and makes clear to us where we're going. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel. It's not just, I'm not the only one that should know where I'm going. And yes, the church, we should have a direction we're going, and we're trying to do that. But you in your personal life need to know, God, where are you taking me? God, what are you wanting? God, what are you needing from me? And if you don't know, I'm trying to get someone's attention this morning. You need to seek him until you find it. You need to go before him until it's clear. I've heard my dad say this: God doesn't have a problem talking. We just sometimes have a problem listening. If you don't have a vision for what God wants you to do, you ready? You won't have the confidence to step out in faith. If you don't know, I hate to make this personal, I wouldn't be standing here right now if I was not for sure this is where God called me. I would not have stepped out like I stepped out and took the risk that I took if it wasn't for me knowing that this is what God wants. This is where he wants me. I can take steps now. I know what steps to take. And when I don't, I just ask him and he gives it to me. And I'm here to tell you, I can step in confidence simply because I know I'm where God wants me to be. Whether you like that or not, if you don't have a vision, I'm saying it again, if you don't have a vision for what God wants you to do, you won't have the confidence to step out in faith. The Bible literally tells us that if you don't have vision, or you don't have a vision, you will die. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm not talking this morning about some physical death. I am talking about your spiritual walk with God. You want your spiritual walk to die? Neither do I. And so guess what I want to make sure I've got? Guess what I've got to make sure I understand? I've got a vision. This is where God wants me. This is what God wants from me. This is where he wants to take me. And I will seek him until he shows it to me. You will become spiritually dead if you don't get a vision. I'm not talking. I'm not talking about, you know, seeing like Daniel saw and seeing like Ezekiel saw and, you know, seeing the wheels upon the wheels and the four faces. And I'm not talking about that kind of a vision. I'm talking about the vision that God says, Joe, this is where I want you to go. Joe, this is what I want for your life. Joe, I'm not going to give you all the answers right now, but this is the step you need to be taking. This is the direction you need to be going. You need to be heading in that way. So I have come here this morning. With one purpose. To challenge someone. And I don't know if everyone will get this. It's up to you. I'm doing my best. Don't feel like I'm doing very good, but I'm doing my best. I've come here with one purpose this morning. To challenge someone. To decide that I'm going to seek God for a vision in my life. I'm going to seek him for a direction. I'm going to seek him. I'm not going to stop until I see it. You see, it was in Mark chapter 8 and verse 23 that this blind man was there. And the Bible says in verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Notice, he got him away from all that unbelief. He got him away from all that stuff and all the distractions. Somebody hear me this morning. You have got to find this place alone with God. You have got to get this. Oh, you can feel an emotion here. You can make some choices here. You can make some decisions here. You may even see some things here. But I'm here to tell you what you need from God. You're not going to totally get it here unless you find you a place. Unless Jesus can say, I'm going to take you away, and I'm going to get you alone with me, and I'm going to get you so that it's me and you. It's my relationship with you, not mine with anybody else. You've got to understand this, that Jesus took this man and he took him out of the town. You ready? Then he spit on him. He spit on his eyes. You ready? What will you allow him to do in your life? What will you allow him to do to you? See, in our world that we live in today, things got to be just right. Everything's got to line up just right. Jesus led him out of town and spit on him. And then he put his hands on him. And I want you to notice what took place. He asked him, "Do you see?" And the man says, "I see men as trees walking. I didn't see it all before. I was blinded by the God of this world before. I wasn't even sure of your existence. I didn't even know that you were even loving me. I didn't even know that you were reaching for me. I didn't even know that you cared for me. But now I know and I see. But Jesus, I only see a little bit. I only see as men trees, as men walking. I see, but not clearly. I know, but not clearly. I understand, but not clearly. I see in a way, but I've still got some blindness." And understand with me today that Jesus did not leave this man in this condition. Jesus did not leave him. And I don't believe for one second that he'll leave you in that condition either. I don't believe for one second that you'll be left walking blind, that you'll be left walking in part. I don't believe you'll be left that way. No, I believe God will open your eyes. And he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him to look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. I believe that most people live right here in their vision. They have somewhat of an idea, somewhat of a plan, but they do not have a clear vision for what God is wanting to do in their life. And because of that, fear controls them. Faith is wavering. Joy is missing. Because of that, instead of walking and stepping in confidence, they're frozen in inactivity. They're trapped behind these bars. And they want to do it, but I don't know what. I don't know how. I can't see clearly. Oh, I want to navigate to the other side, but I know there's obstacles there. I know there's things going to be there, and I can't see clearly enough to know where I'm going. Too afraid to move because they're not sure. Is this God or is this me? Is this God, or will I just be spinning my wheels? But can I tell you this morning what needs to happen? Can I make it very clear this morning? I'm getting ready to wrap up. I'm going to be done here in 10 minutes. I can tell you what you need. You need an encounter with Jesus. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Not just feeling from an emotion and not just having an experience with God, but an encounter with God where he reveals to you your vision. You have to have a place where he opens up your eyes and you begin to see what he's doing. I can prove this in all kinds of passages if I had to. I can think of Elisha, who was standing there with armies surrounding him. It looked like everything was lost. His servant looks at him and he says, "Oh boy, we're in trouble. What are we going to do?" And all Elisha says is, "God, open his eyes so he can see." And all of a sudden, his eyes were opened and he recognized, "I'm not standing here all alone. I'm not by myself any longer. There's a heavenly host that is surrounding this entire situation. God is involved." We need an encounter. We need an encounter. Not only an experience with God, but where God reveals to you his vision. And you can't tell me today that God is not concerned. And he's asking someone this morning. I can just see him right now. He's whispering to someone right now. Do you see? Do you see? I could just see him sitting down next to you. Do you see? Can you see? Is it clear? And someone in this place needs to get honest with him. You need to get honest with him right now and say, Jesus, I see, but I see as trees walking. I see, but I don't see clearly. I see Jesus, but not totally. You see, it's 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I know this is talking about heaven, and I know what it's talking about there, but I wonder today if someone can get the courage to say, God, I want to see more clearly than I've ever seen before. I want to see, because it will only happen when I get a glimpse of who he is. Look, I'm getting ready to hammer it right here. Look, when you see your vision clearly, it changes you. When you know where you're going, it will change your life. It gives you boldness. It gives you courage. It gives you confidence. Moses was content to dwell on the backside of a desert until he got a vision for what God called him to be. And read when he first started. He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. But let Moses get a vision. And all of a sudden you see a man who was so bold that he looked at God and he said, God, I want to see you like no other man has ever saw you before. And you watch, Moses walked in a confidence. It was from this that Moses could walk to a Red Sea and say, go ahead. And he would stretch out his staff. After he got a vision for what God wanted in his life. Why? I can tell you why. Because he knew without a shadow of a doubt God had called him and knew exactly what God called him for. Look at Isaiah, the court scribe, who wrote for the king. He went from disheartened. He was a bewildered man, not sure where he was going, not sure what was going to happen now that his beloved king had died. But in a moment, he received a vision, and we know what happened. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw his train fill the temple. But I can tell you, while that vision was from God, it took his eyes off of a temporal king to the heavenly king, to the King of Kings. But it was that vision that was the calling of Isaiah. And Isaiah would be the prophet who prophesied more of the coming Messiah than any other prophet. Why? Because he saw a vision. Ezekiel was a captive in Babylon, never to see his homeland again. Everyone around him had given up hope, so much so that they would no longer even sing the songs while they were in Babylon. But in the midst, somebody hear me, in the midst of captivity, somebody hear me, I want you to repeat that with me, in the midst of captivity, I don't care if you feel trapped right now, I don't care if you don't feel like you're able to, I'm here to tell you that in the midst of your captivity, you can see a vision of what God wants. Here was a man in the midst of captivity who got a view of God, just like John the Revelator. And out of this view of God, he received his calling and was the one. And this man would make some of the greatest prophetic statements concerning our age today. Why? Because he saw. What about Peter? Let's jump to the New Testament. A man who lost his purpose. He lost his calling when he denied Jesus 3 times. He looks at his friends and says, I'm going fishing. But something happened that day. Something took place that day. Can I tell you what he saw? He saw Jesus on the shore, and he didn't wait for somebody else. He didn't wait for other people, and he didn't wait for the ship to come in. This man said, you know what? I see Jesus. I'm jumping in. And he jumps, and he swims to shore. And can I tell you what you see after that moment, after that time, was a man who never backed down again. You saw a man before that who would back down before people, who wasn't confident in what he was doing. But then you see him standing there on the day of Pentecost when people are questioning and they say, what meaneth this? And here is a man who was one time back, timid and shy, steps forward in front of all them and says, let me tell you about this Jesus, and let me tell you about his crucifixion, and let me tell you about his resurrection, and let me tell you about his plan of salvation. This man after that took beatings. He took beatings. He stood up to the Sanhedrin. He was able to look at them and said, this is the same man who denied Jesus 3 times in front of a little girl. Put it in context. Now he's standing before the Sanhedrin, the religious hierarchy of his day. And he looks at them and he says, who do I obey, you or God? Why? How could he say that? I can tell you how he said that. He got a vision, not just of who Jesus was, but he got a vision of his calling. Jesus said to him 3 times, feed my sheep. And he knew at that moment. Oh, what about Paul? And I'm closing right here. How could a man be so calm on a ship as a prisoner? He's a prisoner going to face death, a trial of a lifetime on a ship as a prisoner. And while everyone else is nervous, and everybody else is fearful, and everybody else is afraid to eat, and they don't know what to do, here's Paul, calm as can be. How could a man be so calm while everyone else is panicking? I'll tell you how. He is getting visited by angels. I'll tell you how. He's having a vision of what he's supposed to do. He knows nothing can happen to me until I get to Rome. It doesn't matter what's going on in this ship. It doesn't matter what's taking place. I know where God called me, and nothing will happen until I get there. Let winds come, let storms come, let snakes come, let shipwrecks come. I shake all that off. Why? Because I got a vision. I know where I'm going. I know what's happening. I hope today I'm motivating someone. If I can just motivate one person today, I feel like I accomplished something. I'm trying to motivate someone here today. I know you've prayed before. I know that you've sought God before. I know you love him and you care for him. But can I motivate you to seek him for a vision for your life?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let's all stand. What do I do? What do I do? I'll tell you what to do. You come seek him.
Amen.
You come seek him. Oh, you may feel emotion, and that's okay because we are emotional creatures. We were created that way. But let me tell you, when you start to feel God, someone in this place needs to say, Jesus, show me what you're wanting. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Show me where I'm going. Is there someone? There's one. Is there another? It says, I'm going to get a vision. I'm going to find out what God wants for me. I don't just want to exist. I was created for a purpose. It's time I find it. It's time I find it. Anyone else? These altars are open right now. The hardest step is the first step. It's that first step of faith. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out. Jesus, I don't just want things to be like they've always been. Jesus, I need to know. Anyone else? These altars are open. Maybe you just need to find a place. I don't care. Find a place to pray. Seek God right now. Seek him right now. Jesus, show me. Jesus, show me. Jesus, show me. I see God, but I don't see clearly. I know. But God, help me to see. Lead me where you have to. Take me where you have to. Do what you have to do, Jesus. But God, I'm going to be determined to find my place and to get my vision.
I feel Jesus.